This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the sixth Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page at the same site. The epistle reading for Sixth Sunday after Trinity is Romans 6, verses 3 to 11, St. Paul's mini-homily on the Christian doctrine of sacrament of baptism as a form of death to sin and rebirth in Jesus Christ. He offered a similar and much longer message in his first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 58, which incidentally is a reading in the burial office in the Book of Common Prayer. The Gospel reading is Matthew 5, 20-26. The subject on which Jesus had been speaking before we entered the scene is righteousness, which is continued in the opening verse, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is here referring to the self-righteous righteousness practiced by the scribes and the Pharisees. Their righteousness was external in the form of pious appearance and speech and rigid application of scriptural interpretation of their own creation, such as numbering the commandments as 613 and not 10. In modern contemporary language, they are similar to the minister of magic in the Harry Potter series, whose name is Pious Thickness. He would later call the corrupt Pharisees whited sepulchres in Matthew 23:27, part of the Woe to You series of accusations that are unique to St. Matthew's Gospel. Modern Christians, especially those within liturgical denominations like the Anglican, need to be especially careful not to make false assumptions about ourselves, such as assuming that any of the following are absolute indicators of righteousness: wearing of the right garments, and here I mean both clergy robes and stoles and hats, and the suits, dresses, shoes, watches, jewelry, and hats of the laity, eating the right foods, worshiping in exactly the right way, praying at exactly the right times and number of times of day, following all the appointed restrictions. True righteousness, in the sense Jesus meant at the early part of the reading, is spiritual and inward driven. It cannot be determined by mathematical or liturgical formulas. In two verses just before we enter St. Matthew's account, Jesus offers this cautionary advice: "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever does them and teaches them, and keep those two verbs in mind as we enter fully into the account. It appears from the context that the scribes and Pharisees who had been present until now in Matthew's account have now left the scene on the mountainside. Nonetheless, it is to them and their type of severe literal-minded interpretation that Jesus is speaking when he said in verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment." In the 4th century, the AIC's patron, St. John Chrysostom, taught that Jesus is here avoiding directly contradicting the Pharisees, but is instead offering something better, that he is warning them that they have obsessed too much on detail and that it is time to move on to something better. And he does so in chapter 5, verse 22a, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Under Jewish law, a man who called another man fool or raka, which means empty-headed, might be brought before the Sanhedrin council for punishment. Thus, what Jesus says next means that there is a more important council than the Sanhedrin when it comes to judgment. For he says in verse 22b, "And whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' shall be in danger of the council, but whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." In verses 22 and 23, Jesus continues with this better, practical and not theoretical way of thinking. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift." And here, brother doesn't necessarily mean a biological relative, but another human person. In the final passages, verse 24 and 25, Jesus continues this new form of guidance on proper daily conduct. "Agree with your adversary quickly while you're on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown in prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there until you have paid the last penny." These podcast homilies are meant to help you understand the meaning of what has been read so that you can put the teachings of Jesus into practice in your daily life. In this case, the lesson in the reading is that if you wish to live by the advice Jesus gave, then if you harbor any grievance with someone else, whether in your local congregation or your family or near where you live, take this moment. If not right now, then when you get home or at work, and resolve all your small differences with anyone before they grow into something larger, always remembering that the burden falls on those who refuse to accept reconciliation. In light of that advice, the first of two closing prayers gives further advice on how to deal with the strains and challenges of daily life. It is a 19th century morning prayer by the Metropolitan Philaret of Moscow. The second prayer is the collect for the sixth Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gregorian Sacramentary, which in turn adapted it from the Gelasian Sacramentary, in both cases as they were used in the Church of England in the Sarum Rite. Now the first prayer, followed by the second. O Lord, grant me to greet the rest of the coming day in peace. Help me in all things to rely upon thy holy will. In every hour of this day, reveal thy will to me. Bless my dealings with all who surround me. Teach me to treat all that comes to me with peace of soul and with firm conviction that thy will governs all. In all my deeds and words, guide my thoughts and feelings. In unforeseen events, let me not forget that all are sent by Thee. Teach me to act firmly and wisely, without embittering or embarrassing others. Send down Thy Holy Spirit to direct my will and to lead me in my prayer life this day, through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, our Lord. Amen. O God, who hast prepared for those who love Thee such good things as pass man's understanding, pour into our hearts such love toward Thee, that we, loving Thee above all things, may obtain Thy promises which exceed all that we can desire, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.